Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy. So, I want to step into our conversation today, and I've decided to call the message today, Surrounded but Lonely. We've been doing a hard look at the growing trends that we have seen over the past 2 years that have been robbing a lot of people of truly living. We've talked about fear, we've talked about grief, and today I want to enter into the conversation around loneliness. The series that we've been looking at called Triggered, I believe, is not a series geared around warm and fuzzy, let's go take 2022. It's more geared around doing the hard work of preparing ourselves to move out of the cave of the darkness that we find ourselves in at times, whether it be grief, whether it be fear, or whether it be loneliness. And the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about anxiety slash depression. And then the following week, we're going to talk about stress. You might want to be praying for those 2 weeks as well. A quick search on Google, I discovered that something that we all know is that loneliness is increasing in proportions that if we're not careful, we'll have a hard time coming back from. What I discovered in my search and just doing a simple Google search, and you could do it yourself, is that the pandemic has had a huge factor, a huge hand in this darkness of loneliness, in this cave in which we find ourselves in. It's no surprise. We all have been experiencing certain forms of loneliness in the darkness of this cave. I mean, when you look at what has been happening, and I know that you hate talking about it or even thinking about it, but the realization over the past 2 years, the messaging in some ways, as important as it has been, has led us to a place of loneliness. Do you remember back early 2 years ago when we were told to stay home to flatten the curve? I know, we all got a twitch from that one now. Right? Do your social part, do the distancing so that we can control the pandemic and flatten the curve. It's going to be 2 extra weeks on March break. Well, that worked out, didn't it? Here we find ourselves 2 years later, dipping into year three. As we have walked this ever-changing landscape of open, close, I've even grown weary of doing my part. I've grown deeply concerned in my weariness of the messaging that we have been receiving, and let me be clear, I understand it, but it has been leading many people to the cave of loneliness. The inability to gather for special occasions and birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries have left people in the darkness of their hearts. To be robbed of being with loved ones when someone passes away from natural causes has done damage to the heart and souls of people who've been refused to be together and to mourn and grieve. Reports of elderly being locked in long-term home care homes situations, desperately confused and alone, waving to their friends from a window, has left many confused. I've not talked to any of them, but I would imagine that they would risk being sick just for the physical touch of a loved one. Now, before you begin to judge me, thinking that I'm speaking out against our leaders in our province and our country, I'm not. I pray for them regularly. I pray that they would surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. I pray that they would surrender to his leadership. I pray that they would understand common sense and wisdom of those around them. But I believe I need to speak to the reality that life is more than the physical well-being of a human. Ask any good therapist and you'll discover the long list of people who are waiting to see a therapist to deal with the inner person. Loneliness, along with fear, grief, anxiety, and stress, has now become the normal. And I'm convinced that we are dealing with a ripple effect that's going to impact generations to come. And if we are not careful, if we are not aware, if we do not step into this respectfully, we are going to be dealing with the darkness of this for years to come. I read a study. I'm not that influential. I read this study recently that 36% of those who participated, which was about 950 people, reported feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time or all the time in the prior 4 weeks of taking this survey compared to the 25% that dealt with loneliness 2 months prior to the pandemic. And the scary statistic in this was that 61% were between the ages of 18 and 25. Yikes. I'm not sure why I said yikes. It's not in my script. I don't know why I said yikes. I talked to Mike Wagaman. He's our CRC chaplain at Western. And it's an organization that we have supported financially to help students eat. There's issues there that I won't get into. I asked him about this. He responded, "The result for many young adults is a pandemic of loneliness because the technologies are failing to deliver on their promises, and we've lost the skills to form deep and meaningful relationships with others. It's like we're stuck in a desert of being all alone together." I can recall early in the pandemic, we were locked down. It was a Friday night. My wife and I had been together for 3 weeks. She's not here today. She's at home. Just check the chat right now on YouTube. Does anyone have a spare bed? Anyway. I looked at her on a Friday night. I said, "That's it. I'm done. I need people." Zoom was cool for a hot minute, wasn't it? Oh, let's hang out on Zoom together. I finally looked at her about 3 weeks and I said, I need in-person contact. Like, I really love you, babe, but you know, I need people. Just kind of making up for my other comment, right? Isolation is destructive and is dismantling people from the inside out. Lack of personal contact and connection is going to lead us to the place of believing the lies of loneliness. And the lie that primarily comes out of loneliness is this: I'm the only one going through this and nobody understands. I want to head back to a moment in a conversation we started 2 weeks ago around fear. I want to look at an Old Testament prophet by the name of Elijah. And I want to look at his loneliness for a moment and discover how he found himself there, and then we'll talk about how to get out of it. Let me give you some backstory in case you weren't here and you're not aware of it. The Elijah, bulk of Elijah's story in this moment that we're referring to is found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Elijah had come into this moment where he confronts the 450 prophets of Baal, and he kind of does a little bit of a face-off, a little bit of a challenge with the prophets of Baal and his God. What you need to know is what led to this moment was that Elijah was a prophet used by God to be the voice of God to speak into King Ahab. King Ahab had led God's people away from worshiping the true God. Side note, whenever a group of people or a leader decides to move away from the truth of God and the commandments and the statutes of God, you will discover confusion, chaos, and a general sense of uncertainty when we are left to our own to describe right and wrong. Humans left to determine right and wrong will always lead to a place of despair. Remove God as a determining factor of truth, you will always find a culture that's unraveling. Ahab, King Ahab, probably why no one calls a kid that these days. Ahab is led people, God's people, away from the one true God. And Elijah brings an alignment and a correction in the moment. It was an epic showdown. The 450 prophets of Baal got no response from their gods. And then Elijah has a response from his God, the true God, and God consumed the altar. Now, what ends up happening, and some of you might be familiar with this, Ahab has a wife, Jezebel, and she's now upset with the report of what has happened. She sends a text to Elijah and says, "I'm going to kill you." Some of you got that. Thank you. I don't even know what, can't even remember what that's from, but stuck in my memory banks. He runs. Check this out. This is absolutely incredible. "Then he was afraid." This is 1 Kings 19, verse 3. "Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Then this. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Few things that we must observe about loneliness. Elijah ran to the wilderness because he was afraid. Fear often dictates and directs our lives to a place of the wilderness. In his fear, he ran to the wilderness. But notice a critical mistake that Elijah made in his going to the wilderness. At the end of verse 3, what does it say? And he left his servant there. A critical mistake in Elijah's journey after this epic showdown was that he left his assistant behind. The one and only true friend that he might have in this moment. You do some digging on prophets, you'll discover that many of the prophets would have an assistant that journeyed with them. The life of a prophet was lonely. It was a lonely adventure. And God would often provide an assistant or a servant that would go with them to be a companion, to keep account of the things that the prophet had done. Elijah leaves the one and only true person that could have gone with them, and he finds himself going into the wilderness a full day. It says that he ran a full day into the wilderness. It's about 15 to 18 miles, so it means Elijah was a marathon runner. He went to the wilderness, and he lands beneath a broom tree. And for clarity, this is not where brooms come from, kids. He takes cover in the broom tree, and look what he says. Look what it says. He starts thinking to himself, God, just take my life. I'm no better than my fathers. He's in the loneliness of the wilderness, and he's believing a lie. Interesting. Moments before that, just a few hours before that, what's he doing? He's praying in the name of his forefathers, calling on God, and now he's like, I'm no better than my forefathers. See, loneliness leads to despair in the wilderness. Elijah lost the ability to see the goodness of God, and he became confused in the situation in which he found himself in. The despair of loneliness, he wanted to die. Isolation is the path to loneliness. I can't prove this statistically because I don't have that kind of power to do studies like this. But I've wondered a little bit about our worship of individualism and how it has led us to this place, making us believe that we don't need anybody in our lives, so therefore I put on an armor that protects me from others, so I want to be strong and independent according to the North American Western way, which is really a collapse of self. See, it's possible to be surrounded by lots of people at school, at work, at church, and be lonely because you have refused to let others run with you. Darkness overtakes us, and we find ourselves in this cave, dark and alone. Elijah thought he was the only one left of the good guys. He had convinced himself in this cave that nobody else but him was the one that was following God. Fast forward to the end of chapter 19, and you'll see that there was actually 7,000 other people that had not worshipped and bowed down to Baal, but he convinced himself. There's been something that has been bothering me, and I'm sensing now a boldness about it, and I'm just going to step in. There's been something bothering me over the last 2 years that I've watched. Keep in mind, I'm a faith leader. I'm not a politician. I'm not a doctor. I'm none of that. But I am a faith leader. I've been doing this a long time. I'm not a conspiracy person, Matter of fact, if you are diving deep into the videos of conspiracy, just check how much stress and anxiety you have. We'll talk about that in the next 2 weeks. What concerns me is that human beings are created for deep, meaningful, authentic relationships, and the evil one is having a field day in our isolation, which is spiraling many of us into the cave of loneliness. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them in perfect union with one another, with creation, and with God himself. It is the design of human beings to be in relationship. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," he's referring to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in existence in union with each other in perfect harmony, in union of one. We are designed for authentic, meaningful relationships. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, it is designed within you. Satan, the evil one, who is having a field day, diminishing the creation in us as human beings formed in the image of God. Satan deceived Adam and Eve by removing them to a place of isolation and tempted them with the fruit of the tree that God said for them not to eat. He approached them and deceived them with partial truths, which led them to the place where they sinned against God, and they hid from one another, and they hid from God himself, and they covered themselves with leaves. The best lie that the enemy will use in any of our lives is partial truths that lead us to the place of loneliness. When we isolate ourselves, even when it comes to relationships and in the context of faith, we find ourselves alone and the flame going out. I referred to this 100 times in the last 2 years. Logs burn better together. As soon as a log falls out, it starts to go out. See, I am convinced, as it relates to church and relationship and faith, and what I mean by this is that I'm not talking about just the Sunday morning gathering. I'm talking about a person's life woven into the fabric of what it means to be in a faith community. I am convinced that those who have leaned in hard into the context of relationship are those who will walk out of the season we are in with a flourishing, growing, vibrant faith because they have leaned into the context of relationship. See, the concern I have is that we've elevated physical health above all else, seemingly neglecting the other parts of who we are as human beings. And I feel and I sense that we're missing it. This is not to take away from the depth of the pain that some have walked. Few have walked the path of losing a loved one in this season. Some have walked the path of being hospitalized. I am not diminishing or minimizing those things. What I'm saying is, let's pay attention. One of the greatest tools of the enemy is to get you alone and isolated. If you don't believe me, you need to look at Jesus' life. Jesus, after he was baptized, he comes up out of the water. The Spirit compels him to go into the wilderness. Who confronted Jesus in the wilderness? Satan. He got him alone. He thought he had him. And Jesus overcame and defeated him in the wilderness. He tried to trap him in the wilderness, but Jesus rose up above it. See, here's the thing that I hope we hear and understand. And this is with the humility of self and the boldness of Jesus. Messaging that drives us apart instead of together is dangerous. Why? Because the enemy will do whatever he can to attack the image of God created in you. You are created in the image of God, therefore you are created for a relationship. And what happens when you are pushed to isolation and aloneness, what ends up happening is you find yourself in the cave if you're not careful and aware. Let's go back to Elijah for a second. Imagine Elijah. Imagine if Elijah had taken his assistant into the wilderness. I got thinking about it this week. Imagine this. Imagine what would happen. he goes into the wilderness and he's all alone. Elijah, remember the other day when God showed up and consumed the altar? Right? Elijah, this is the time where you lean on God, not on yourself. You know, the God of your forefathers, you need to trust in him again. Elijah, if you just stop running for just a quick second, we can have a coffee and we can get some perspective. Elijah, you're not thinking straight. You don't really want to die. See, when we refuse others in the journey, we short-circuit how God has created us. See, I look at this through the lens of the church, and I recognize that that's my primary focus, and that's my calling. But what I've recognized, that what we do as a church is that we create environments. We long to create these authentic relationships within the context of church where you are known, where you are loved, where you are served, where you are cared for. It's the place in which you find the connectedness. Now, the flip is true. When you find yourself in a space like this, what is so beautiful is that you now provide that for others. So you take your eyes off of yourself, off of your sitch, and you can now focus on others and let them be known and loved and served and cared for. The meaningful relationships, the people who emerge strong and resilient will be those who have wrapped themselves around relationship in the depth of it. Those who have refused will often be the ones that will drift. And that's just a generalization. But there is a drift that can happen in your journey of faith. When you're alone, you begin to believe the lies. Actually, Jesus addressed the lies in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, when he lies, he's referring to Satan. He speaks out of his character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So the lies that we begin telling ourselves, yes, can be fabricated within the context of our own being. Yes, that is true. But also the enemy of what God is trying to do in your life would love to make you believe those lies. Elijah said, I am all alone and there's nobody else. But end of chapter 19, we reveal that there's actually 7,000 other people. That's a pretty good chunk. They have not bowed down to Baal. What do we do? What do we do to find the exit to the cave that we find ourselves with loneliness? Well, first thing is this. Ask God to guide you to one or two people that you can journey with. I know even as I wrote that, I was like, what are we, grade one? But I am convinced that you are a prayer away from that person that you will journey with. You might already know them. But I want you to recognize that as you pray and ask God to give you one or two people, what I'm saying is this, it's a mutual understanding of friendship. It's not seeking someone that's going to fix you. It's someone who's going to sharpen you and you sharpen them. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Some of you are familiar with that verse. It's the sharpening of one another. There's a guy in our church that I've referenced him a few times, more so because he's in my circle of friendship. And so he's given me the green light to use his story whenever I can and to drop it into conversation like this. This guy binge watched our YouTube channel back in the early days of COVID. We did this thing called Vital Moments. It was on a whim. They were 4 to 5 minute little videos. And I was just desperately trying to keep the church alive and do some sort of form of content. And then we got exhausted from it and stopped it, but God used it. He binge watched our Vital Moments. He went one after another, and he gives his life to Jesus at the end of it. And then he comes to me and he shares his story. I knew a bit of his story prior to this, but he comes and he shares his story with me. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm like, no kidding. And then a few months later, he says, hey, can I get baptized? I'm like, sure. You know, every pastor's dream, someone coming begging to be baptized. We could hardly hold him down. What was interesting about this situation in this story is the likelihood of his faith not taking root was very high, because shortly after that, he entered into a very dark season of chaos in his personal journey. But here's the thing. He had two other men that he was journeying with in the life of our church, which propped him up. And you would, if you were to see this guy, he's not even the same guy 2 years later because of the connectedness of people. Maybe You're already in those relationships. Maybe you are already in a context of relationship, but you're still feeling lonely. What you need to do then is do what a friend of mine told me she had to do. She had to confess it to her two or three that she was lonely. It's something we don't want to talk about. We don't want to confess that we're feeling lonely because we don't want to appear needy or that there's something wrong with us. But maybe it's the simplicity of getting together with a friend, one or two, and saying, you will not believe how lonely I am on the inside. Yes, my social media is filtered and looks amazing, but I'm lonely. Which is a conversation for another time. The gap between the reality of your real life and the filtered life of social media. Oof. And we wonder why anxiety and stress is going high. That gap is getting bigger. Confess. Second thing is this. Limit the excuses and step out of the cave and get connected. I'm amazed at how good I am at excuses. I feel like I'm a master at it. You know? Like, I need to change my food habits. I need to stop eating those dill pickle chips. Oh, but, you know, once a week's fine. The whole bag. You know, I just need to exercise a little bit more, but man, at 5:30 a.m. alarm goes off, I just feel like staying in bed. I deserve to stay in bed, right? Spending habits, you know? I need to get a budget. Oh, you know what? Too much work. You will not defeat the darkness and despair of loneliness if we continue to make the excuses, right? You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this, and I've already referred to the church, but I'm going to refer to it again. I was thinking about when we create opportunities for people to connect. So we often will flag connect groups or alpha or starting points. And I got thinking about it this week. I thought, you know what? We don't do this for the good of our health. Like, I got thinking about this for our staff. We don't do this for our staff to keep busy. What we do it for is to create an environment for you to take steps towards getting connected. So when I think about starting points, and it's this introductory course to the life of our church, what it is this online experience for 3 weeks where you get to meet others, hear their story, hear the story of the church, hear more about who we are. You're like, well, I'm already a church person. I don't need to hear how church goes. So? Or maybe you're not all that connected to a church and maybe church is new to you. So? Like, take these steps. We're going to do alpha at some point before 2030, and we're going to do alpha in person. Alpha is an introductory course to the Christian faith. These small videos, you do a meal together, you do life together, and we're trying to navigate the complexity of what we find ourselves in right now, and I'm convinced we're going to do it in person, and that's my current plan, and I'm so used to pivoting, I'm just like, whatever, we're just going to go for it sometime when the doors open. So when alpha comes... Step in. Like, I'm already a follower of Jesus. I don't need that. So, I'm convinced that some of us are one step away from leaving the cave of loneliness. But we make the excuses. Third thing is this. Are you ready? Invite Jesus into the cave with you. Invite Jesus into the cave. I know that sounds like the right answer, right? It's like the Sunday school teacher asking, what's a brown fuzzy tail and climbs in the tree and a little boy puts his hand up in the air? Sure sounds like a squirrel, but I'm going to have to say Jesus, right? So that came to me about 2:30 this morning. So I know it's going to sound strange that I'm proposing a friendship with someone that you don't see, but just because you don't see him doesn't mean that he's not present. Or that he's uninterested. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. This is the wonder and the beauty of the Christian faith. That it's this journey of developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that he can be your savior, he can be your Lord, he can be your king, he can be your forgiver, but he can be your friend. He can be your friend. He can step into that space with you And as you develop that faith muscle in relationship to Jesus, what you begin to discover is his presence in the midst of the loneliness. Because I am convinced that loneliness, and just so we're clear, loneliness is not something that will ever go away. We'll dip in and out of it at times, but maybe the seasons will get shorter and maybe the moments will be less. But we must find ourselves realizing that in the relationship with Jesus, he is with us even when we don't sense his presence. When Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, when they had sinned against God, this is interesting. God had covered them with animal skins. And when he covered them, it was the covering of his presence. So when they left the Garden of Eden, what they ended up doing was going with his presence with them. When a person responds to the Jesus knocking on the door of their life and they open up their door to Jesus, what ends up happening is that Jesus' righteousness becomes our righteousness, which covers us, which goes with us as we journey through life. If you want a verse for that, look up 2 Corinthians 5:21 and you can see that. So we find ourselves going in relationship with him even when we don't sense his presence. But he wants to be your friend. Elijah finds himself in a cave, and this is a critical moment, because as he's in the cave, God asks him a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He actually asks him twice. He asks him a little bit later on in 19 as well, chapter 19. Like, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he would again come up with excuses. But I wondered today, as I was reflecting this week and studying this week and trying to come into a moment for us, maybe that's what you're hearing today, is the small whisper of God saying to you, what are you doing here? I'm like, not in this room or online. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what are you doing here in the cave, in the darkness of loneliness? I didn't create you for this. Have you believed the lie that has driven you to this place? Have you allowed yourself to dip too far in where you just don't see a way out? Loneliness is a part of many of our lives right now. It's being revealed in so many ways. And I guess for me today, as we come to the conclusion of our conversation and as we wrap up our service with this closing song, I ask you to consider opening up your life to the reality of the person of Jesus Christ and the availability of the power that he gives you by the Holy Spirit to live out your faith in a way where he becomes your strength, where he becomes your refuge. And like we're about to hear, that he can be your strong tower.